We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 91 of Hogue and Johns. Episode 2 of the Mitch Trubisky era. I think we should keep count of that going forward.
Well, there's going to be a lot of these, I imagine. Plenty of these.
I was thinking yesterday, just sort of reflecting on the look. This is a, it's like,
what are you going to call it?
It's a quarterback controversy. Like, usually I've been a part of so many covering teams where it's the coach is like, ah, it's a competition. It's not a controversy. It's a competition. This is a controversy, I think. I think this goes in the quarterback controversy stack. And you know what? It's going to go on forever. You know, because the Trubisky watch is going to start day one of training camp. The preseason is actually going to be relevant because you're going to get to see him play. And then everything that Mike Glennon does in the regular season is going to be under the microscope. And we're going to be talking about it the whole time, even if the plan is that Trubisky doesn't take a snap in 2017.
Yeah. And that's going to be the most frustrating thing, I think, for our listeners, fans, readers, whatever, what have you.
Probably us, too. Like, I want to see Trubisky already.
Yeah, but I understand the process here.
Oh, I do, too.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I don't fault the guy into the
wolves' den here.
No. And I've been the guy saying he needs a year to develop. I mean, I get it. Yeah. I get it. But that doesn't mean that, like, we don't want to see it.
Yes.
You know? So, anyway, episode 91 of Hogan Johns. This is the Tommy Harris episode, of course. Tommy hasn't had it easy since he retired as a Bear. We had him on our show on the beat last year, and he's a very positive, uplifting guy for all the stuff he's been through. He lost his wife, and
yeah. Did you read the story he did on the Players Tribune?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Riveting, heartbreaking, but also very uplifting in a sense. Just very well done, very deep. That's how I would describe it. Very, very deep. If you haven't read it and you're listening, go check it out. Google Tommy Harris Players Tribune. It's a must read, in my opinion.
You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Both of us have a ton up to read from what was just a wild weekend. You know, and you know what? Not just in Bears draft history, but really like franchise history. That was, I don't know about you, Adam. That might have been the wildest weekend I've had since I started covering the Bears 7 years ago. I mean,
now has the dust settled yet? Because that was the goal of this podcast.
Yeah, I think it has. I think it has, and that's kind of the point of us getting together as we record on Wednesday night, trying to piece together everything that needs to be talked about and everyone's reaction. By the way, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can find it on TuneIn. Just search Hogan Johns. Rate and review the podcast there. We appreciate you doing that. You can also find it on the WGN Radio app and other applications that you use. Okay, so where should we start in all this? I mean, the reaction. Right. Just,
I feel like you have to pick sides. I mean, how should you describe the sides, right? Are you one that thinks that Ryan Pace got had and he overspent on the Mitch Trubisky trade? Or are you on the side who gets it, who understands the point of him needing to be 100% sure that he got his guy? I think there are two sides of the fence. I don't think there's much in between. I think you're either for – we got to come up with names for these, Adam.
Yeah.
Like the
team Trubisky. I'm team Trubisky.
Okay.
I'm definitely team Trubisky. Well, I mean, I thought he was my number one quarterback. I like him. I think he's going to be good. I do. So I'm
team Trubisky, then team I love third round picks. How about that?
Yeah. Team, give me those third and fourth rounders. You know, I was thinking back. I don't know what was going through your head in the media room at House Hall when all this was going down. We kind of talked about what we thought was happening on our last podcast, But here's what was actually going on in my head. I was on the air on WGN Radio last Thursday. It's crazy that this was almost a week ago, by the way. I mean, that kind of blows my mind. It's been just an insane week. But when the news came in that the Bears had traded up to number two, you know, you're put on the spot when you've got a microphone in front of you. You're covering this on the air. I mean, I've heard some give Adam Schefter some criticism because he was talking about how the Bears were trading up to get Solomon Thomas and he was wrong. I mean, I wasn't watching that, so I don't know exactly what he said. I don't know if he was reporting that or speculating that but in my head, as I'm being asked too on the air live, what are they doing? What are they trading up for? I'm going, I honestly have to go back and listen to it to know what I exactly said, but in my head I'm going, well, there's a lot of really good defensive players here. Maybe it's Solomon Thomas because that's the guy the 49ers have been linked to hard. But, man, to trade up, you kind of think it's got to be for a quarterback, right?
Yeah, and that's what I thought. I saw all of the Solomon Thomas highlights ESPN started to run. I'm like, no, you don't do this. It's I didn't want to say it. I yelled it in the media room, but I said it pretty loudly, at least for the circle of people that I'm around in the media room. I'm like, this is a quarterback. It's got to be a quarterback. It's only got to be a quarterback. Because you don't do a trade like that for anything else but a quarterback.
Well, and the what the trade was came out right before the pick came out, if I'm remembering the timeline. It's all kind of crazy to think about. But so I remember going, well, man, that seems like a lot. You know, like your first reaction was, man, that's a lot of picks. Okay, now you take a step back, and I've certainly covered this and written about it a bunch, tweeted about it, whatever. I mean, you add up the, you know, the trade value of the picks, whatever. The Bears were actually on the positive side of all that, and then you compare it to other deals, like when the Chargers traded up for Ryan Leaf, and it's not even in comparison what they gave up. I mean, it's basically nothing compared to some of those other trades. But regardless, in my head, I'm trying to go back to, okay, who the player is going to be. So in my head, I'm thinking, man, you're giving this up for Solomon Thomas. As much as I like Solomon Thomas, I feel like you only make this move for a quarterback. Because there's other, you know, if you don't get Solomon Thomas, you know, Jamal Adams is there. You know what I mean? They both play defense, and they both can have a huge impact. The quarterback spot is just a completely different position. And, you know, I think it was Peter King, and we can get into some of the stuff that Peter King wrote about because he was in the 49ers draft room, but I think it was he who said this, that there's really two drafts. There's the draft for the quarterbacks, and there's the draft for everyone else. Like that, there's kind of two things going on, and it makes sense. So, you know, I've already written about it, Tom. We don't have to dive into it completely, but I get what Ryan Pace was thinking. If he's that sold on it, you go and get your guy.
The percentages may have been what? 80-20? Even 90-10, he's there at three, right? But that 10%, that 20%, whatever it may be in your analysis, if you really love the guy, that is such a slight risk. That's there's a risk there, and you go and get him. It's worth it. It is so worth it if especially if he pans out. So,
well, and let's now it's 90-10, right? I think we're all on the same page that, okay, probably, we don't know for sure, but probably Trubisky would have been there at number three. But you gotta put your head in the draft room, in the moment, when you're almost on the clock, and you have to process all the information that you've been trying to get over months and months, okay? One, you've already decided that this is the guy you believe is going to win you a Super Bowl as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears, okay? You've decided, and you've been through so much poor quarterback play since you took over. Jay Cutler wasn't your guy. You got put in a situation where you're on a big contract for this quarterback, and you know you really couldn't get out of it until this year. So you add up all that, and then you get in that moment in the draft room, and here's what you know. Okay, you know that you have the parameters in place to move up to number two if you want. You have discussed this with John Lynch. You have a handshake agreement. This is according to Peter King's story and the whole timeline, right? The handshake agreement is there. And you're trying to figure out, are any teams going to move up past you and steal your guy. Okay? You know the Cleveland Browns like Mitch Trubisky. That was 100% true from what I understood and talked to a lot of people over the weekend. That interest was real. But you had done such a – and every time I say you, I'm talking about Ryan Pace. You have done such a good job over months and months of work of not letting anyone realize how much you want Mitch Trubisky, right? So you could say – you could trust yourself completely and say, I'm going to believe that we've done this perfectly and no one's going to jump up there and get him and he's going to be their number three. Or you could almost buy an insurance policy, right, just to make sure. Because what if you're wrong and they're telling you on the phone, John Lynch or whoever was on the phone with them, that they have more off – that there's another team and there was another team. Whether or not they wanted to come up and get Trubisky – probably not, from what we know in retrospect. But again, take yourself into that moment, and you don't know. You don't know what they want. You can guess, but do you want to guess on the guy you believe is going to be the key to you turning this whole franchise around? For 2 threes and a 4, you make that deal every single time.
You're feeling that the competition is there. There's suitors for that number two pick, because there's suitors for your number three pick. There's calls being made for a week or so on that number three
pick. He said
pick.
15 teams called him, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that was the day of. And I'm sure those conversations will range all over the place. But you know there's interest to come up to your spot, and you know you've done a good job concealing your interest. So you have to guess that other teams are interested in Mitchell Trubisky. Look, he was the number one quarterback on a lot of teams' boards.
Yep.
Plenty of boards. I know that's surprising to people because Deshaun Watson, we all saw him win the national championship. We all saw him beat Alabama. But college success doesn't always equate to professional success. Mitch Trubisky was the number one quarterback on the Bears' board, according to Ryan Pace, to Dow Loggins, to Mark Sadowski, to Josh Lucas, to their chief scout. Was it Ryan Kucinich? Is that right? I mean, it was so.
It was everyone whose opinion mattered when it came to quarterbacks in their scouting department, and then you also trust your offensive coordinator on that too. And for Josh Lucas, Mark Sadowski, Ryan Kucinich, Chris Prescott, the area scout for that area, and Dow Loggins, he was the number one quarterback for all of them. So this idea that Pace went rogue with this pick and just went off and did it on his own is completely untrue. There was unanimous approval among those who get paid to make these draft decisions.
Right. So you have this consensus. So you feel great about the decision, even if you have to part with some picks. Go get your guy.
Yeah.
Forget about the picks. You know, you didn't give up a first. You didn't give up a second. You weren't held for ransom by the 49ers. You had to give up a couple third-rounders and a fourth-rounder. You move back, of course, they get their third pick, but I get that the 49ers got their guy in Solomon Thomas, and you had to give up something to get your guy. But that, I think there's risk and there's reward. The reward is getting your guy, and the risk is losing your guy, right?
Yep.
Imagine if the Browns did pull it off, or the Chiefs, who I think totally liked Mitch Trubisky. I know they drafted Patrick Mahomes, but I think Trubisky was higher on their board than Mahomes. So obviously there's competition there. People are calling for your pick. You don't know who's completely calling for the number two pick. That's why I'm in, Team Trubisky. I totally understand the move.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise you're living with the regret of watching Trubisky play for another team. And if he has the success that you thought he was going to have all along, that's tough, right? I mean, that's tough to swallow, and you kind of have to live with that forever, you know. And
the one example I used in the column I wrote the morning after was the whole Aaron Donald situation.
Yep,
remember that year?
Absolutely.
He's falling. And the Bears sit on their hands. They loved that guy. He was a perfect fit for their 4-man front. Special player. Taken right before him to the Rams. The Rams had this great defensive line. You wouldn't think they would do it. They have all these other needs. They need some offensive help. Nope. Best player on the board, BPA, Aaron Donald. Hello, Kyle Fuller. I mean, the Bears, I know there's been a regime change, but those are the type of decisions that would sting a franchise for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's, you know, that's a good example because, you know, I get it. I mean, the Rams had a great defensive line. So I get why a general manager would sit there and go, you know, as soon as he slips to one pick before you and the Rams are the team in front of you going, oh, we're going to get him. But that is the exact perfect example of you don't know what's going to happen. You can sit there and guess, and you can even say it's 90% sure that he's going to fall to us, right? But there's that other 10%. And if you want to live with that regret, I mean, think about how good Aaron Donald would have been on that defensive line. And he's playing for a different team. So then there's, you know, this idea that came out right away. I mean, it started immediately. Maybe it's, you know, caught fire because of the age of social media and how Twitter has taken over the NFL draft, whatever. But this idea that John Lynch fleeced Ryan Pace. Okay. And beyond the fact, in that moment, maybe I get it. And then we find out later that, all right, if you actually look at the trade, it's pretty even and it doesn't compare to past trades. We already talked about that. We don't have to get into it. But it kind of continued the whole weekend nationally. And I couldn't believe that. And I this was one of the things I dove into in my piece on Monday, my 10 Bears things, because I was surprised that it continued nationally for as long as it did. And I can't help but think that John Lynch being, and this isn't a fault of his, but being a former member of the media who was traveling around with Fox, you get extra access when you're calling games, you get to know these guys really well. He's a very likable guy, right? And he's made a lot of friends around the league. And, you know, I felt like Ryan Pace was sort of getting a raw end of this deal here because if you looked at the facts, the trade made sense, and yet everyone around the whole country seemed to be killing him. And then this story comes out from Jason LaConfora on Sunday, citing anonymous league executives that just torched him and said, oh, he just got fired. And then this whole idea that there's a huge rift with John Fox, like it just kept piling on and piling on. And then Peter King's story came out Monday morning, and I thought, you know, for a guy that was just laying out the facts of everything that transpired, it kind of actually, at least when I read it, leaned more towards in favor of Ryan Pace understanding what the hell was going on in the draft room, not just Thursday, but Friday and Saturday too, because there was a bunch of little nuggets in there about John Lynch.
You know, then you got this Reuben Foster thing that's kind of coming out now. You know, he was their number two player on their board. Like, they would have been comfortable taking him there at number three, but he also was there at, what, number 31?
Yeah.
So a lot of disparity there.
So he looks like a genius because he ended up getting his number one and number two player. Well, wouldn't it be two and three? I'm assuming Myles Garrett was.
Yeah, and it looks like his number two player, whatever, Reuben Foster, there's a lot of – some teams – he was off some teams' draft boards because their medical people didn't like his shoulder, and now it comes out – you know, I don't have the report in front of me that shoulder is what was the report that the surgery didn't take
it
or something like
take,
that, or
yeah.
The surgery is going to be in his near future,
which is probably what he got upset about right at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean that's what I'm guessing. So, the 49ers were willing to take him. You know, that early. I mean, that's questionable, right? And then you find out too. There's a couple things here that really got to me, Adam. And that was, okay. One, I don't know if you saw this nugget from the Sacramento Bee, but John Lynch did not know what a rookie fifth-year option was.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They asked him a week ago about Jimmy Ward, the former NIU safety, who's now on that 49ers defense and is up for his rookie fifth-year option. They asked him about it at his pre-draft press conference, and he kind of danced around the question. And then later he came back during the draft and admitted that he didn't know what a fifth-year option was, that he had to go find out.
Well, I get it. Look, the guy's a first-year GM who didn't spend any time in NFL front offices. So, but still, I guess he should have an idea of the basics of – why you want this guy to be a first-round pick, right? Especially for quarterbacks. You want him under your control for a longer period of time. So maybe he understood it. That's why he went up and got Reuben Foster, to have that type of contract structure in the future. Here's the thing that people got to remember. This is all opinion. All this scouting stuff is opinion. So you had all of that, well, that backlash towards Ryan Pace immediately, right? Reports from everywhere. People hating the deal. He gave up third-round picks. How could he do that? All that stuff. But then you hear, like my colleague Mark Potash interviewed Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame general manager of the Green Bay Packers. Loved it. Praised, and I quote, Ryan Pace's intestinal fortitude for making that trade. And then Bill Polian on ESPN Radio goes out and gives him an A+ for making that move. Says he snookered the Browns by, you know, the Browns are out there playing the media saying, hey, who are you going to take, Myles Garrett or Mitch Trubisky? I don't know what to do, guys, you know. So you got the Browns playing with the media. Meanwhile, Ryan Pace is acting like a spy and keeping his interest of Mitch Trubisky completely under wraps so he can play the whole situation and he can be bold when need to be. So obviously the Browns, they're a guy with Mitch Trubisky. And they only got DeShone Kizer. But when you trade out of the 12th slot with the Texans and they take DeShone Watson, it tells me 100% that Mitch Trubisky was their number one quarterback, because you know for a fact DeShone Kizer is going to be there in the second round. So obviously they were snookered, to use Polian's word again.
No, trust me. Trust me. The Browns wanted Trubisky. They had no idea that the Bears were going to take him even at number three. And so, again, if Ryan Pace hears that there's a team on the phone with the 49ers and he doesn't know who it is, I get it. One more thing on John Lynch, and I hate that it sounds like I'm piling up on him. I'm just trying to, you know, this whole what's just bothering me is this whole idea that he just, like, came in and doesn't know what he's doing and just, like, completely, you know, had this unbelievable draft and caught it. I mean, he also drafted C.J. Beathard in the third round, okay? Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard, who, if you were at the Senior Bowl, didn't look like he belonged, all right? And then, so if you take him later, fine. But third round, that was not necessary. And then we find out, I don't know if you saw this story, he drafted a running back later in the draft that wasn't on his draft board.
Yeah.
He got the guy on the phone. Was it Shanahan really liked him? Someone else in their organization really liked Joe Williams, the Utah running back. And so John Lynch got on the phone with him. And basically the kid talked him into not only drafting him, but trading up for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. Joe Williams might end up to be a good player. All these guys, you know, 3 years down the road, it may very much look like John Lynch won this draft and the Bears didn't. That's fine. But what I want to focus on is just the process of how these decisions are being made. Okay, Ryan Pace had a plan he was sticking to from the very beginning when he fell in love with Mitch Trubisky. John Lynch was doing the exact opposite. He was flying by the seat of his pants. He was just making moves on the fly here. And so to just say that one guy didn't know what he was doing, the other one did, it sounds like it's the opposite of what everyone's saying.
Didn't the 49ers have, like, all these quotes on their board about that? I'm kind of guessing you're 49ers away, but there was something, maybe it was Peter King's article or something, where the picture, there was a picture of it about the type of characters that they want in their organization, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And a lot of teams will have things like this. Ryan Pace and John Fox kind of swear by it. They love what they're doing with their culture after cleaning house with guys like Martellus Bennett and guys like Brandon Marshall. But to draft Joe Williams, to draft even Reuben Foster, you probably have a first-year GM. Yes, maybe he deserves some type of praise for, you know, how he handled the whole Bears-Trubisky situation. But, look, let's not write him into the Hall of Fame quite yet. Everybody's going crazy over this guy. But, yeah, Joe Williams, that's a Shanahan pick. That's C.J. Beathard, that's a Shanahan pick. So he's deferring to his rookie head coach as well in many ways. So I don't know if there's consensus on those players like you would have with the Bears decision making. Just have maybe one decision maker really wanting that guy. And I get that head coaches have a powerful say. I get that. But let me tell you what, I guarantee you there was some type of consensus on Leonard Floyd last year, especially from the defensive coaches, Vic Fangio, John Fox, all those guys, Clint Hurt, the area scout down there. I'm sure Pace had a high grade on him. So the more opinions, the better. Look, the jury's still out in this whole thing. I didn't get some of the inflammatory negative reaction that was headed towards the Bears. I really didn't. And all the acclaim, praise that went to John Lynch, I think maybe the best is somewhere in between, or the right thing somewhere in between. But you're right in pointing out those draft picks that Shanahan clearly had a hand in for the 49ers.
All right, let's talk about this other thing that came up. I mean, some people were sort of suggesting it through – I mean, there was the Mortensen report. It wasn't even – he said – maybe you can explain to me how this went down, because I just saw Kevin Seifert's tweet on Friday that basically quoted something that Chris Mortensen said, and it didn't say where it was said. I'm assuming he said it on TV. But he basically said that John Fox didn't know about the Trubisky pick until an hour before it happened. And then Mortensen got on Twitter and walked it back, because I don't even know exactly what he said on TV. I don't ever saw the video. But he clarified that John Fox was a part of, you know, the whole scouting process or whatever, and had a say in it.
Yeah, I think he actually even suggested that Ryan Pace and Chairman George McCaskey reached a decision on drafting Mitch Trubisky like a month ago. To me, that seems kind of obscene. I don't know if it's true. If that's not printed, like, to me, from a journalistic standpoint, like saying something and even tweeting something, right? Write it. If you have it, write it. Produce it, right?
That's why you shouldn't believe anything we say on this podcast.
Yeah.
Only if we were.
but you get my point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
From a journalistic standpoint, I'm not ripping Chris Mortensen. He does a fine job, and I think that's why he went on Twitter and kind of backtracked. Things can get carried away with your words and certain questions, and we see it all the time where words get misconstrued and things like that. So here's his tweet that this is Mort trying to clarify his report about John Fox not being aware of the Trubisky decision. And I quote, "John Fox very involved in Bears draft process with Mitch Trubisky. Decision crystallized for GM Ryan Pace as scenarios played out early evening." Well, yeah. That's exactly how
Yeah.
You know, it's – and I get in the social media age, you see it with all news, right? Everybody gets in a fluster, and everybody wants to look for answers right away. Everybody wants to condemn right away. Everybody wants to be, you know, judge, jury, and executioner right away in social media. There's no due process anymore in terms of getting truth and stories out anymore. And so you had that take on a life of its own. Maybe it led to some other reports, you know, maybe it led to some other rumors in the gossipy NFL world, and that's where you got Jason Locke for his report. But look, John Fox was eating steaks with Mitchell Trubisky. He was very involved in this plot, let's call it a plot, to keep the Bears' interest in Trubisky under wraps. I mean, I almost think that when he goes to the Clemson Pro Day and he starts, you know, talking it up with Dabo Swinney, that right there is – that's part of the smokescreen too. That John Fox, for the entire practice, is talking it up with the Clemson coach, and all the NFL world and the media members there are there to see it. And I almost think that was part of the whole elaborate smokescreen to get Mitch Trubisky to keep their interest in Mitch Trubisky under wraps. Now, that's just my speculation, but the more I think about it, you know, the Bears were so visible at Clemson and so invisible elsewhere. I thought it was very interesting.
I think that's the only thing I got right before the draft. I mean, we got everything else wrong. I think that was the one thing I was on that, like, I didn't buy the whole Watson thing because it was too obvious. This is the way these guys operate. You know, I didn't know that it was going to go to the depths it did to keep this Trubisky thing quiet, but that Watson stuff was like, come on. Like, that Clemson Pro Day was on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
And the whole time they're showing Fox and Dabo Swinney talking. I mean, come on. So, all right. So, yeah, this kind of created a and by the way, John Lynch was talking to Rich Eisen a few days later and referenced the fact that Fox didn't know that it was happening. So that just goes to show you, like, how these reports take a life of their own, because even a few days later, another GM was like quoting it like it was a fact.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. This kind of creates this idea throughout the weekend that there's sort of this divide between Pace and Fox in the draft room. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that it just created this conversation that was going on while the draft was unfolding. And then you have the joint press conference Saturday night, where I wasn't there because I was doing my radio show downtown. I listened to it. You were still there, right?
Yes.
I mean, so you give your take kind of on what you saw that night, because some have kind of pointed out that Fox didn't seem overly enthusiastic about the draft picks.
That we're talking about the Saturday night press conference, right?
Yeah, the one that Fox was in with Pace.
Yes, yes. So you're looking at a John Fox who is probably over-caffeinated, who is 62 years old.
I think he's still 62.
This would be probably the third night in a row where he's coming off very little sleep. Draft days for all teams are long days, so you know he's tired, over-caffeinated, probably a little stressed out about certain things, doesn't like talking to us in general. I try not to make too much of it. What got me when he was talking to us is he tried selling like Trubisky and adding Glennon is just, you know, adding depth because we lost all these guys last year. Everybody was hurt last year. We need all these quarterbacks and all that. We finally got him to talk about the importance of drafting a quarterback that high and what it means. The significance, I should say, of drafting a quarterback that high and what it means to him and the organization and things like that. It's obviously his first time doing it. So getting to him to say that, it took a while. You know, I asked a lot of questions about it. But I understand it because I've played this game with John Fox before, right? Every single week of my life during the football season is this. And that's just how John likes to operate with us in the media. So if some people write it that way, I think people are just looking for things at this point. Look, do I think Ryan Pace is going to get a chance to pick his next head coach? Yes, absolutely. I think Ryan Pace is as safe as can be. Dallas Hall, this busy pick emboldens that. But I think John Fox still is pretty tied with Ryan Pace. In many ways, you don't draft a quarterback like this high, without some type of solid ground and footing with your coaching staff. And I get that we've seen situations like in Tennessee and in LA now, formerly St. Louis, where change will happen almost immediately because of these quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay. But I don't think Pace is going to operate that way. I think he believes in Dow Loggins. Now, would I be shocked if they go 2-14, there could very well be a house cleaning, and we could be starting all over with Mitch Trubisky and things like that. But he credited the input of Dow Loggins, who is the offensive coordinator of John Fox, in this decision. So I think that there is at least some faith in this coaching staff, John Fox included, to get the start that he needs for Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, I think the relationship between Pace and Fox is worth watching for sure throughout the season. But I was told pretty strongly over the weekend that any reports, you know, and it's out there. I mean, specifically a Jason LaCanfora report in which he's got executives saying...
Just two. Now, someone on Twitter said, did you see the numerous executives saying this? I go, no, there's just two. Just two.
Yeah,
I don't know who they are,
you're right.
What teams they are, or how they're affiliated with the Bears, or how close they know the Bears. But
look, here's what the quote is. We don't know what the hell they were doing, said an executive from one team that is routinely in the postseason. It was a vague way of getting us to start guessing. It's all anyone is talking about. It's really bad between Pace and Fox. Fox is fuming about being left in the dark on the trade. I don't know anyone who likes their draft. From the first pick on, we can't figure out what they were doing. Go back and look at how many small school kids they took. People around the league are shocked. It's really bad between Pace and Fox. I mean, there's so much in there. And this is what the other executive said. Either the Bears know something no one else knows, or that draft just got a lot of people fired, only they don't know it yet. I mean, for one, the idea that an executive who's doing this for a living would bash the idea of drafting small school kids. Like, I get how, like, fans would be like, who are these, what's Ashland, what's Kutztown? What North Carolina and AT&T, you know, I get it's A&T. I like to call it AT&T because that's what the fans are doing. You know, I get that. But these guys that do this for a living are constantly scouting small school kids. So just because you ended up with two or three of them, the fact that an executive even anonymously would bash that is like crazy to me. And then this whole idea – anyway, what I was getting to before this is – I mean, I was told that this idea that there's a big rift between Pace and Fox, it's overstated. It's overstated. It's not I think the relationship is worth watching this season, but they're on the same page for the most part, I think, and I don't think there's a rift.
Well, there's a lot of things worth watching this season.
Yeah, there is. The Bears are relevant again.
I get why that's a topic. You got the young GM and the old school coach, and I get that. For the most part, they've actually blended quite well. You know, look at last year's draft. That was a total Fox draft. You know, that it's so this year they break from that mold a bit. And look, the whole small school thing, look, I get it from an optics standpoint. It doesn't look good. You know, there's some old school GMs that believe you only take, you know, schools from major powers and stuff like that. But I feel like it was just last year that you may have been asking Ryan Pace this question about him only taking schools from major pro or players from major programs and things like that. I mean, that was a storyline not too long ago as you're trying to get a feel for Ryan Pace's draft. I mean, look, half the league, I think, is like undrafted players. So these players come from all walks of life, all different schools, all draft selections, some not even drafted, and they make the league. So you're right in criticizing that critical executive who's ripping the Bears anonymously. You know, we don't even know who he is, stuff like that. Here's like my thing about draft year.
Sounds like a guy who wanted Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Right? You know, here's my thing around this draft time, and you get all these anonymous GMs and scouts saying these things. And like when readers read it, they feel like emboldened. And look, I get it. I've used anonymous sources before, and I will continue to do it. I've quoted anonymous scouts here and there. But it's all opinion, people. People can be wrong. You know, there's different ways to do things right. Just because someone is anonymous doesn't make the story any much stronger. You know, it's baffling to me. It really is sometimes. But look, I think Ryan Pace and John Fox have a good enough relationship to move forward with this thing to start the Mitch Trubisky developmental process. And that's really where this begins in 2017.
That's right, and it's gonna be interesting to watch. I mean, that gets us kind of probably the last thing we should cover. And actually, I do want to touch on the rest of the draft picks real quick too. But the Glennon Trubisky dynamic. I mean, talk about things worth watching. Now, I'm not gonna pretend to know Mike Glennon that well. He, you know, we only got a chance to talk to him a couple times. He came on this podcast. That was nice, but from all accounts, I mean, it doesn't seem like character's a problem. Sounds like he's a good teammate. I completely understand if he was caught off guard by this draft pick. The entire world was. I also agree that if he's upset that he got invited to that draft party and kind of got blindsided, I think that's a fair thing, too, to be sort of upset about. I mean, that's a delicate thing. I don't know how, you know, whoever sent him there didn't know the draft pick, so I think that's a fair point to bring up. But you know, whether you're going to blame anyone or not, the outcome of that situation was awkward. No question about it. I understand how he could feel that way. The idea that he was entitled to anything as a guy that hasn't played in a couple of years, I mean, is ridiculous. Absolutely. You know, I remember when we were at the Combine, Adam, and we did a podcast there, and these rumors about Mike Glennon started coming out. And, like, I think both of our first reaction was, really? Like, this is your answer to the quarterback? And then, you know, you start to do your homework. I watched all the tape. You know, you could see why Ryan Pace likes the upside. And then you kind of fall into the idea, okay, Glennon's the guy. This is who they're going with. And you kind of fall off track to the idea that it's still Mike Glennon. Mm-hmm. And I'm not bashing him. It's still Mike Glennon. You have to have more than one bullet in the gun in this situation. And, you know, look, you take a quarterback number 2 overall. that he's going to be given any opportunity to eventually win the job. But Glennon has his chance too. He has 2017. Go out there and ball if you're that good.
Here's my thing. I don't think the Bears think Mike Glennon is a bridge quarterback. But by taking Mitch Trubisky at number two, they made him a bridge quarterback. I think that Ryan Pace believes that Mike Glennon has enough potential in him to be something maybe better than a backup behind Jameis Winston. That's why he got $16 million. That's why he was not afraid to give him that $16 million. That said, Mike Glennon should not be caught off guard whatsoever by this. I mean, just pick up the papers. I thought for sure that the Bears were going to draft a quarterback at some point. Developmental guy. Mitch Trubisky may be a number two pick, but he's still a developmental guy. I thought for sure that the second and third rounds were 100% on the board for the Bears to take a quarterback. Right? We asked Mike Glennon about it at his introductory press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And his contract, the way it's constructed, he should know that he's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. More than anything.
Yes. Look, he's not guaranteed $18.5 million. He is guaranteed $16 million for 2017. 2.5 kicks in next year on the third day of the new league year. So if he needed any answers in terms of his stability here, all he had to do was turn to the contract that he signed, that he agreed to, and look at the details to know that this is really just a one-year deal for me to prove myself. There are some quarterbacks that may interest the Bears. You know, I get that he may be a bit perturbed. He's been in this situation before. Happened in Tampa with Jameis Winston being drafted. Doesn't mean he has to like the situation, but it's good that he knows how to handle the situation, in my opinion.
Let's not forget, though, he was making third-round money in Tampa. He's now getting $16 million.
That's right? Starter's money.
Yeah. So, you know, like it goes back to my point. If 2017, Mike Glennon, is your year. I doubt, you know, 2018 will be. But you still have a chance to look very, very good in 2017. And either the Bears are going to keep you around because you look so good and they want that depth, or they'll look to trade you somewhere else. And you'll end up as a starter somewhere else because that team's going to have to give up a lot to get you if you're playing that well. So you're still you're not in a terrible situation here. It sucks. You've now had the number one pick go against you in Tampa, and now the number two pick here in Chicago, and you just signed this contract. I get that part of it, you know, from a human nature standpoint, but there's not a whole lot of human nature going on in the NFL.
No, it's a cruel, cruel business. And the bottom line is, look, you go out this year, you have a great season, you may very well, if you're that outstanding, keep Mr. Trubisky in the bench for maybe one more year, you know, but look, this is your year. That's the way I would look at it if I'm Mike Glennon. I'm getting $16 million to make this the best year of my career. And look, it may not be here, but there'll be another contract out there for him somewhere, you know, if he could deliver. I mean, he's just got to look at it. It's like what's the cliche that they use in locker rooms? You know, everybody's on a one-year deal, right?
Yep, they say that.
He's got to use it. He's got to live by it this year.
The Mike Glennon year. That's what we are in. The Mike Glennon year. All right. Thoughts on the rest of the draft class, Adam Jones?
Here's like I feel like people were upset that they only got one defensive player, and I get it. I wrote it. You wrote it. Everybody wrote it. Everybody said it on TV, the radio. Loaded draft. You're great for cornerbacks, great for safeties, good for edge rushers, very good for those positions. And all you got was a safety with a rod, and it's like I get the angst over that. But the Bears still needed some offensive weapons, people. They were 28th in scoring last year, and they were pretty serviceable for defensively. They're in the middle of the pack defensively. They've made enough headway in the past 2 years under John Fox and Vic Fangio where maybe, you know what, maybe we should get Dowlog and some offensive weapons. You know, Kevin White's kind of coming back. We don't really have a number one receiver. We've spent some money here and there. Maybe we could use the huge 6'6", 280-pound tight end who could run down the sideline. Or maybe we could use a little scat back that's like Darren Sproles. I don't get the angst over the selections, especially at those points in the draft. I get maybe the Shaheen because there are still some very good defensive players there. But look, the Bears need some offensive help. Zach Miller can't play forever. You need somebody to complement Jordan Howard, maybe Tariq. Is it Tariq, right? Tariq Cohen.
Yep.
Could do it. I mean, the Bears needed some offensive weapons to work with Trubisky, to work with Fiera Glennon. So I don't get the – maybe if you look at some of the details, you can understand why they needed some offensive needs. That's what I'm saying.
I talked to a lot of people over the weekend that had a lot of good things to say about Adam Shaheen. Now, Adam Shaheen was on my radar before the draft, but I can't say that I, you know, dove into him a huge amount, and certainly did not think he'd be going in the second round. But you can see the upside. I mean, you can see when you watch his tape, and I get that he's going up against D2 players, but he is running away from much smaller defensive backs. Even at that level, that is a very, very impressive speed to have for a tight end who's that big, 6'6 and a half, 278 pounds. So I think the Bears really feel like they have a potentially good receiving tight end here. And I thought it was interesting that Ryan Pace came out and said right away on Friday night that he thinks that Shaheen can contribute early. Because I think we're all kind of thinking, oh, he's making a jump from D2. It's going to take a while. Now, I also think that this is going to be a guy that I can't wait to see when those pads go on in Bourbonnais. Because this is a huge step up in competition. So he's either going to have that mentality and be good with the physicality of the NFL, or he's going to get exposed pretty early on. Because he has the size. This is not like a Leonard Floyd situation where we're watching that weight and we're like, all right, he's really going to have to refine his technique here because he's playing it so thin. Shaheen looks like an NFL player. I mean, he's big enough. So to me, it's more of that competitive level, the physicality, and just getting after it, right? Because that's half the battle in the NFL, and that's going to be very evident right away.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, just because they played E2 doesn't mean these guys are slow. Right? They're defensive backs. They should be fast in some respects. So, yes, when you look at the tape and you try to get some type of perspective in how fast Adam Shaheen is moving, you just got to know, I think in general, that some of those defensive backs are supposed to be pretty fast, and this guy is 6'6", 280 pounds, and moving just as fast or faster than him. And the when he gets to the NFL, I think maybe there will be some speed gap kind of shrunken a bit.
Oh yeah.
Of course there will be. It happens for everybody. But I think he still has that size advantage over a lot of guys. I mean, just look at the players in the Bears secondary. He is considerably bigger than everybody. You know? There's new starting corners.
Yeah.
They're 6 feet tall. He's 6'6". There's Adrian Amos is 5'11". Right, that Buda Baker that everybody wanted the Bears to take in the second round. I think he's only like 5'9".
He's undersized.
Yes.
That's why I wasn't huge on Buda Baker. Love the mentality, love the way he plays, but he's not very big.
Right. You don't think it's 1-on-1 at the 5-yard line, Buda Baker versus Adam Shaheen? What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Throw it up.
and that's exactly so. We talked to his head coach, the Ashland head coach, Lee Owens, on the beat over the weekend, and that's something, I mean, you're just trying to create mismatches. And he's a guy who can line up to the outside as a receiver. He can come in. I think his blocking is something that's, if there's anything exposed early, it's that. This is what Lee Owens told us, though, the Ashland head coach. I'll give you this quote because I get that these coaches always hype up their guys after they get drafted. I get it. Okay, well, except for Brian Kelly. But few say things like this. Okay, here's a quote. Adam Shaheen is the real deal. I was blessed. I had a chance to coach a Hall of Famer when I was at Ohio State, Orlando Pace. I had a chance to coach a Hall of Famer when I was at Akron, Jason Taylor, who is going in this year. I know this is a bold statement, and I don't want to put this on Adam's shoulders, but he's that kind of guy. I mean, I think he can be that kind of pro. I mean, he's hyping them up. Now, those are guys at different positions, but he's talking about potential. He's just talking about being that good, impactful of a pro at the NFL level, as in, you know, a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's a lot. He said, I don't want to put that on Adam's shoulders, but that's a lot to put on Adam's shoulders.
Look, I do think, I want to be clear, that there will be some type of transition for this guy. I think the speed element will be a factor, especially when he has the ball. And what, even when a guy wants to jam him on the line of scrimmage, some of these linebackers will just be physically stronger than what he faced before. So there will be a transition for him. But I want to hit home this size point. You can't teach size. You either have it or you don't. And the guy's pretty athletic. He's a former basketball player. He gives you reasons to be optimistic about him. Now, I'm trying to be pessimistic in a way about the pick, but I mean, I've heard about Adam Shaheen for a while now. I think I first heard about him at the Senior Bowl. Someone was talking about this big D2 tight end, you know, in one of the circles, scouting circles I was in at night. But I like the offensive picks. I get them if you just think past, you know, what you heard about this being a great defensive draft. The Bears, if you want to think of need, the Bears needed some things offensively.
Yeah, no, and the other thing that I think got ignored is we kept talking about how good of a defensive draft this is and was. It's a great tight end draft, too, and it was a great running back draft, too. So they still went out and took advantage of that. They didn't necessarily need a running back, but they didn't take a prototypical running back. They took a guy that's going to fit in the offense differently. And if, you know, it was Ryan Pace who brought up Darren Sproles. And if Tariq Cohen's Darren Sproles, well, that's an interesting weapon to add to an offense. And if Adam Shaheen is really this great tight end that can go and catch the ball, you're talking about I was you know, pounding on the table for a wide receiver this year after losing Alshon Jeffrey. But if those two guys can come in and give you weapons out of the backfield, or Adam Shaheen even lining up, I mean, you're talking about putting tight ends and safeties for both of these guys. That's who they're going to be up against, and you're creating a ton of mismatches. And, oh, by the way, here's the ball, Jordan Howard. Go run it up the middle for 25 yards. So, I mean, that might be what's missing from this offense as much as anything.
Diversify your talent pool. You can't have all the same guys. You just can't. Ryan Pace this year, and I do get this as a very positive way to look at things, but he diversified his talent pool, whether it's free agency, Deion Sims or Marcus Wheaton. And then you add these guys in the draft. They have different elements in their offense now that weren't there before. They've diversified, and the best offenses have a variety of different weapons, and you're right, mismatches that they could create for their advantage. So I don't want to sound like I'm being overly optimistic, but I also want to say we haven't seen these guys play yet. Why not be a little bit positive? I mean, we can't write them off yet. Don't write anybody off yet. We haven't seen them play in Bears uniforms. We'll see that soon enough, but we haven't seen them play.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's completely fair to come away with questions at the end of the weekend and say, how did they only get one defensive player? How did they only draft five players when they have so many needs? I think that's all fair. But if these guys end up being good, if these five guys end up being good, even just three or four of them end up being good, especially the quarterback. I mean,
I was going to say, Trubisky's, you know what? Forget all the other guys. If yeah. Mr. Trubisky is good, this draft is a win.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you know what? I like the Eddie Jackson pick. I was told that he would have been a second rounder if not for the broken leg last year. Very similar play to what Kevin White endured when he had that broken leg last season. Just sort of an awkward tackle that his foot got caught in the turf. And, you know, unfortunately, we'll have to see what kind of speed Eddie Jackson still has. You can go, and I put this in my 10 Bears things too. I there's a video of him returning an interception, and it's impressive. I mean, you can see the length, you can see the ball skills, but I'm just talking about as a returner. If he's a punt returner and he's effective, and I don't know if Tariq Cohen can be the kick returner or not because he didn't really do it at A&T, but if the Bears eye him that way and you just fix your return game, you know I've been talking about that for years, Adam, that they need to upgrade their return game. So even if that's the only thing those two guys do, that's very impactful. I mean, I think that that's something that was completely a need in this draft to address. It might not have been cornerback, you know, and if Jackson can't be, you know, a reliable safety back there and some of his tackling is questionable, then people are going to look at that because those were needs coming in this draft, but so was returner, so was tight end. Those were huge needs for this team.
Right. Look, and I get that this draft class has been praised for its amazing defensive qualities. Ryan Pace himself said it was very deep defensively. But a lot of these guys can bust out. Let's be honest. They're not all going to make it. They're really not. So you have to trust most your evaluations. You have to trust your projections.
Most of these guys don't make it. I mean, that's the reality of the draft. And it's just a numbers game that's against you. All right. I've been fired up. I'm losing my voice. And I ran out of water. So I think we need to end this thing. How's that sound?
So Team Trubisky. I don't want to sound like a fanboy, but I agree with the move. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah, I do too. They had to fix their quarterback spot. And remember, Pace wanted to trade up for Mariota a couple years ago. This has been something he's been eyeing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was picking number 3. You hear in that spot, 2-3, I'll say it again, 2 threes and a 4 for what the alternative could have been, it's worth it.
Third-round picks.
Yeah.
They're just third-round picks. Right. I know you can hit a home run with third-round picks, but come on, people.
Yeah. Come on, people. That's right. All right, at Adam Hoge on Twitter, at Adam Johns. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Search for the podcast on iTunes. Hoge and Johns, rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that. Helps spread the word on the podcast. Tell your friends. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you reading everything over the weekend. Thank you so much for all that. It's been a long draft season. We'll be back with rookie minicamp. That's the next step. It'll be about a week and a half from now. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.